Hey, welcome to Sunday School. Just a reminder, what we're doing in adult Sunday School, there are bits of Christian learning and growing that don't so naturally or easily fit in, say, preaching in church or in a midweek Bible study. There are areas of growth in doctrine or Christian growth or skills for ministry. And those are the sorts of things that we pick up on in the adult Sunday School class. And our main series this term, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're thinking about becoming more like the Lord Jesus, who is the one who is supremely filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit-filled man, as well as our Lord and God. But he's also the one who has given us his Holy Spirit, who is making us more like him. So that's where we're going this term. And we're thinking this week about patience. So we read in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience." So let me pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for all of his beauties, for his holiness. We thank you for his love and compassion and power by which he lived and died and rose for us and has poured out his Holy Spirit into us. Thank you for your patience toward us. Thank you that little by little, day by day, you're conforming us and to be like your Son, our Saviour. And for our few minutes now, we ask for your Holy Spirit's help and that he would take your word and press it into us, encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us. We want to be more like Christ. Thank you for your commitment to that end also. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you think about patience, I don't know what the first thing that comes to mind is. Maybe it's standing in a queue or you're stuck in traffic. Maybe you're waiting for an Amazon parcel. I wonder if we've become less patient since the advent of Amazon. What's going on inside of you when your patience is thwarted? What's going on inside of me? Temptation to perhaps anger, maybe despair. What about patience in the Bible? Let's think about the fruit of patience in Scripture. The word for patience in Galatians chapter 5, the word literally means long temper. So the Greek word, which is translated in Galatians 5 in the ESV as patience, literally means long temper, long fuse, you might say, as opposed to short temper. The old King James Version translates it really helpfully. Talks about being long-suffering. And it's connected to a very common New Testament idea and word, that of endurance. So when we think about patience or long-suffering, and it might be helpful just to think about it in those terms, long-suffering, when we think about it, we could define it like this. It's the ability to endure trials and hardships with godliness, without losing faith in God or in his good purposes. Usually in the New Testament, long-suffering patience is used when we are called to be patient with other people. I don't know when you were just talking about exercising patience and finding patience being challenged, whether you were talking about being challenged by other people or being challenged by circumstances. This particular word is usually used when we are called to be patient with other people, whereas the endurance word and idea is usually used of trials and hard circumstances. So what we're talking about here is this: responding to the weaknesses and the failures and sins of others in compassion and mercy, not in vengeance or retaliation. Now, where do we see this? Where do we see patience, long-suffering patience in the Bible? In your handout, you'll see I've put 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Now just chew over that verse for a minute. Here are three sorts of struggling Christians. Three groups of brothers or sisters who are struggling. Some are idle. Some are faint-hearted. wanting for courage in the Christian life. Some are weak. Maybe that's bodily weakness. Maybe that's other sorts of infirmity. And Paul says there that each needs a specific sort of care, but all of them need patience. They all need this word. They all need you to respond to them with long suffering. Now, why might that be? Because, let's be honest, you might be tempted to look at someone who is idle or faint-hearted or weak and think, why don't you just get it? Why don't you pull yourself together? Why don't you do better? Couldn't you be a better Christian? You could get frustrated, couldn't you? And so the Apostle Paul says, no, long-suffering, all. Or think about when Peter came to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. And he says to the Lord Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother, sorry, that should say my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? It's a question about patience, actually. It's a question about long suffering. And how long is the long in long suffering? To which the Lord responds with a parable of the unforgiving servant who does not respond with long suffering. But that kind of question, we probably don't verbalise it as directly as Peter did. I wonder whether non-verbally, that's the sort of thing which we have flowing through our hearts and minds quite often. 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul tells us directly that love is patient. Love is long-suffering. So in other words, it's not just loving those who love you or love those who are easy to love, but loving folk for whom actually it requires long-suffering. And I don't want to downplay how hard this is. It's a very hard thing. When we experience sin from others, for example, even from other Christians, responding to it Christianly, it's extremely hard. It's important also to say that sometimes the right thing is to confront another Christian in a godly way. It might be right and necessary to seek justice via due human authorities. So in other words, long-suffering does not mean inactivity. But sometimes it's not right to confront a brother or sister. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Sometimes we cannot obtain justice this side of heaven. Just cannot be achieved. It is not in our power or in any other human power. And the call on the Christian is to give up personal vengeance, personal irritation, and wait patiently. And it is very, very hard. Because we're not just talking about being stuck in a traffic jam or waiting in a queue at the post office, or the wrong Amazon parcel has turned up on your door. We're talking often about much more serious and weighty things than that. Where do we find help? Where do we find power? Look at the back of the handout. Let's think about the character of our God. In your Bibles, would you please turn to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3. Now, if you've got one of the black church Bibles, you are on page... Someone's going to give me a page number. Loudly. 984. Thank you. Roundabout 984. So Colossians chapter 3. Listen to verses 12 and 13. Talking about the clothes that we put on. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now, do you notice there that patience is connected to bearing with, or forbearance? Again, another slightly old-fashioned English word, but there's much weight in it, bearing with. Patience is connected with forgiving each other. And most important, end of verse 13, it grounds it all in the Lord's forgiveness of us. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And in that breath, Paul reminds us of the Lord's supreme patience toward us. Do you remember that bit in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 34? Moses, he wants to see God's glory. Can't see all of the glory of God, Moses, but I will pass before you and I'll tell you my name, he says, and I'll explain my name and also his nature, what he's like. And of all of the aspects of the Lord's name, it's one really beautiful feature. The Lord is slow to anger. And that perfectly captures this idea of patience. And here is its origin. Here is where it comes from. I mean, all beauties and godlinesses are from God. They reflect him. And here is the patience and the patient character of our God. So he's not a... He's so unlike me here. He's not a frustrated deity who eventually loses his rag and strikes out. He's not like that. He's one who is reluctant to act against his creation, even when that creation is in rebellion against him. Just imagine if all of our sins were met by the Lord's impatience. I'm quite impatient. But imagine if the Lord was like that. If every sin was met with instant fire and brimstone, we'd all be lost, wouldn't we? At a big level, the Lord delays his judgment. He holds back that last day for the sake of salvation and mercy. And he does that at an individual level as well. The Apostle Paul, he knew this. He reflected on his own experience, and he writes this in 1 Timothy 1:16. He says, I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, he's just said that he's the foremost of sinners, in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So supremely, the Lord is patient. And the Apostle Paul would just say, look at me. Look at how patient the Lord has been in having mercy on me, forgiving my sins, opening up my eyes. Now, just before we go on, we do need to point out that the main Bible response to the patience of the Lord is repentance. So when you think about the patience of the Lord, what should you do with a patient God? The simple answer is repent. Because the Lord is patient, he's waiting, he's merciful, we must repent and we can repent. And so we'd want to say to a non-Christian friend, don't waste God's patience. It won't go on forever. But today is a wonderful day of patience. Now repent, believe the gospel. But even Christian people, do we sometimes think that our sins are too great? Maybe we've crossed a line with the Lord? That maybe we've missed a chance for mercy? Well, not so, not so. Now, our sins move him to pity more than to anger. And so we can come back to him and we can pray for the grace of repentance and turning and his help in coming from sin to Christ. So there's the character of our God. Let's think now about the experience of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And we see this supremely in him. He embodied long-suffering. He embodied forbearance. So let's just think about our Saviour for a few moments. Remembering, and here is why we want to do this. As we look at Christ, the Lord uses that experience of looking at him to do something in us. You remember 1 John, one day we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. The business of the activity of looking at Christ does something to us. And it is Jesus' spirit who is working away within. So the New Testament, it tells us that the Lord Jesus is the judge. The Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son, yet he is the judge who came to save. You know, today is the day of salvation. You know, the day of judgment is yet to come. One day, Jesus and his disciples, they encountered some unrepentant people and some unbelieving people. They were Samaritans. Now, just contrast Jesus and the disciples. This is in Luke chapter 9, 54, 55. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. You can sometimes be quite critical of the disciples. You know, they're so, I don't know, blind or stupid or clumsy, or I can see a lot of me in the disciples. They should have known, though, that the heart of Jesus was patient, long-suffering. Just think about how he responded to the disciples. They were so often slow to believe. They were sinful and selfish. Think about Peter. He denied his Saviour, yet was forgiven and restored and called into service in the Lord's family. And years later, Peter reflected on this. So in your Bibles, would you turn on, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. That is on page 1015. Thank you. Brilliant. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Actually, pick it up at verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So our Lord Jesus, he knows what it is to exercise long-suffering, what it is to suffer unjustly, infinitely more than we do. But do remember this and be heartened by this, that he knows when you or we or I endure another's sin, when we experience injustice. He experienced others' sin. He is in union with us. When his people suffer, he suffers with us. But the Lord Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile. He did not threaten in response. Just think of Peter again. Do you remember Peter, you know, chopping off the high priest's servant's ear? That's not the Lord Jesus' way. Rather, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. So he knew that justice would come. It didn't come in that moment. It would come. All wrongs would be righted. And wonderfully, do you see how he used patience? He used that awful waiting. Well, actually, he used it for the good of others. The cross, our eternal good. Now, what about our response? So this long-suffering patience of the Lord, which is a fruit of Jesus' Holy Spirit, the same Spirit which dwells in every single Christian, how do we respond? Well, expect the Lord to work. We are in union with the Lord Jesus. We're joined to him. You know, our relationship with Christ, it's a little bit like a marriage union. You know, two become one. We are joined. And we will expect him to work in us. And so we will pray. We will pray for the Lord to work. We will pray for patience. Lord, grow me in the grace of long suffering. And the simple fact is that the Lord does put us in circumstances and relationships that require it. He likes to work like that. We kind of wish he didn't, but he does. Every trial, it comes from the hand of God. And we believe and we trust, sometimes we have to screw up our faith to believe it, that all things work together for good. That the Lord is at work in that circumstance, in that relationship, even when it is hard. His providence is at work. His purpose and care over every single molecule and detail in this universe. It is at work to make us holy, to make us patient, like him. So we expect the Lord to work, we pray for patience, and we copy the Lord Jesus. So first of all, we look at him. Hopefully we're trying to get this into our heads, that when we look at Christ and when we see the loveliness of Christ, that will do something to us and in us. And it might be that very consciously we want to call to mind one of the scriptures that we've worked through this morning. Maybe there is a situation or a relationship you're in and you think, yes, I need that. That is a scripture which I need to log away, memorize, turn into prayer. We want to remember how the Lord has been so patient to me. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, Andrew. We want to remember examples of Jesus' patience when he met weak and sinful people. And then think, well, how is this to work out in my life? And there'll be concrete ways, won't there, in which we can sow little seeds of patience in daily life. Remember in Galatians 5, Galatians 6, Paul talks a lot about gardening. You can sow to the spirit or you can sow to the flesh. Whatever you plant, it will grow and it will yield a harvest. Well, with the Lord's help, we can learn to respond to hard situations and hard people with long-suffering and patience and sow those seeds in daily life, maybe attitudes or words or deeds. And they will become a growing habit. They'll become a godly character and they will yield a harvest of righteousness. Now, what I'd love for us to do is spend a few minutes and just talk about those three questions at the bottom of the handout, and then in about maybe 9 minutes time or so, we'll share some questions, encouragements, responses together. But talk about those things together. Go for it. So is there ever a time when it's good to be impatient? What do we think about that? Impatient for Jesus' return. Yeah. I suppose it kind of depends what you mean by patient, doesn't it? So if you think patience means long-suffering, willing to endure trial, wrong, God in a godly way, not seeking personal vengeance, not seeking retribution, I mean, is it ever wrong to not be like that? Sorry, is it ever right to give up that kind of godliness? I think the answer is no. But yeah, there are things we're to long for, like the return of Christ. There are things we are to actively pursue and do. So being long-suffering does not mean you are always passive. There are authorities in the world that are called to try and bring about justice this side of glory. You'll only do it imperfectly. You might need to confront someone in their sin. So not impatience, but there are other bits of godliness that go alongside it. Yeah, did anyone else would chip in with?
Just quickly, yeah. I think I thought I was always patient, but then I had children.
Well, look, tell you what, it's nearly quarter past. Pray, take something you've learned from God's word today. Let's pray about it, and then remember if you've got children over the way, go and grab them, and cups of tea and cake and whatnot as well.